Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Betty and Bob have returned to the small country town of Walton for the peace and quiet that Bob needs after the dangerous operation that restored to him the use of his legs. As editor and publisher of a great fighting newspaper, The Trumpet, back in the city of Monroe, Bob was resentful of the uneventful life he foresaw for himself in the country. It took a lot of persuasion on Betty's part to keep Bob from turning back to Monroe before they had even arrived at Walton. But the unexpected welcome of Mayor Jeff Patterson and their old neighbors somewhat softened Bob's resentment. By evening, he was even half willing to admit that moving to the country, with the baby twins, his mother, and Claire Evans and Gardenia, was a wise move after all. But then, in the midst of the quiet night, gunshots were heard, and Betty and Bob, going out to investigate, heard more shots and saw cars racing along the road toward the Rusak farm a mile away from their place. Bob stopped one of the cars and learned that Rusak had barricaded himself in his house with his two daughters and had just wounded one of the deputy sheriffs. Sensing a growing mob violence and being puzzled by the story told of Rusak, who they knew and liked before, Betty and Bob quickly got their own car out of the garage, and we now find them starting for the Rusak farm.
Bob, are you sure you want to drive?
I am driving.
But the strain, dear.
Please, darling, don't make me sicker than I am. As a matter of fact, I'm not sick at all. Feels good to be behind the wheel.
Oh.
We'd better hurry.
Yes.
There's murder in the air tonight. Now that he's wounded that deputy sheriff, we're probably going to see a sample of mob violence at its very worst.
Did you hear Joe Bonham's voice? Come on up and see the fun. And Joe Bonham's a nice man.
Yes, he is. But once these things get started, they're awful hard to stop.
But Frank Rusak, you remember him as well as I do, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do. A swell fellow.
Well, he isn't the kind of man to keep his daughters out of school and threaten the truant officer and now shoot a man. There must be something in back of all this, Bob.
Sounds to me like a man who's lost his reason.
Why, it was a terrible shock to learn that his wife had died.
Yes, she was a fine woman.
Bob, do you suppose there's any connection between her death and what's happened now?
I don't know. Betty, look at that crowd.
Oh, I hope they don't fire into the house with those two little girls in there.
There's no telling what they'll do. A man without reason makes trouble enough, but a mob without reason, there's nothing worse or uglier.
I know. Look, they're moving toward the house.
Yes, they may get Rusak out, but there'll be a couple of people killed before they do.
Come on out, Rusak. You know what's good for you. All right, fellas, come on. Let's get him. If he won't come out, we'll burn the rat out.
Burn him? There are two children in there.
Betty, Betty, look, who's that coming?
I don't know, Bob, I can't see.
Stop it, I tell you, stop it.
What?
I said stop it or one of you's going to get killed.
Listen, you are running this school now, Mr. Teacher. So just take a back seat and keep your mouth shut.
I'm telling you, leave that man alone in there.
Listen, he plugged Deputy Williams in the shoulder. He's been taking pot shots at the rest of us for the last half hour. He's a killer.
That man is out of his mind, Joe.
He's nothing but a killer. And we're getting him out now. Come on, fellas.
Spread out.
Go.
Listen to me.
Keep your hands off me.
You're stirring up this violence, and you're going to be sorry for it.
I said take your hands off me.
No.
All right, then.
Oh. Joe Bonham.
Oh, good evening, folks. Glad you decided to come and see us get that killer off.
You hit that man when he wasn't even defending himself.
Here, let me help you up, fellow.
Thanks. Come on, everybody.
Wait a minute, everybody.
Now what?
We heard this man talking to you, Joe.
Yeah?
And he's absolutely right.
Of course he is.
You people don't know what you're doing.
Sure we do.
You think that a crazy man is in that house. If you all could take a look at yourselves, you'd see that you're behaving a lot crazier than he is.
What kind of talk is that?
We don't think you're the same Joe Barnum who welcomed Betty and myself this afternoon.
Ah, there ain't no time for speeches. He shot a deputy.
Stop driving yourself on, Joe. Betty and I knew Rusak before we left for the city. He was a good, kind, hard-working man.
Yeah, well, he's a killer now. Come on, come on, we're wasting time.
Joe Barnum, if anything happens to Rusak, I'll swear in court that you provoked this crowd to murder.
Huh?
Yes, and so will I. I see that cooled you off a bit, didn't it? Well, it ought to. Because we'll do just that. We'll swear that you're guilty of murder.
Don't let him talk you down, Joe. We started to do something. Let's finish it.
I'd like to talk to whoever said that. Well, whoever you are, you're coming forward? Doesn't seem as if he is. Now, everybody, please relax. Take it easy. I think you're all very lucky that this man here and Mrs. Drake and myself came along when we did. And stopped you from doing something that you'd be bound to regret for the rest of your natural life.
Talk back to him!
Shut up!
That's better, Joe.
None of you people here are yourselves right now. You've been off on a wild blood hunt. It's made you lose all sense of self-respect and decency. The talk of burning down that house, knowing that there are two children in there.
Rusak is no criminal.
No, it's just that the death of his wife has thrown him off balance. He wasn't able to accept her death. He felt he'd been done a great injustice. In a way, he thought society was to blame for the death of his wife. Though she died of natural causes. That's why he kept his two little girls out of school. That's why he neglected his farm. That's why he's barricaded himself in that house. Not because he's a criminal, but because he's a sick man mentally.
Well, what are we going to do? Let him go? I'm telling you, he shot a deputy.
Well, I see another deputy over there. Why not let him stay and watch? Well, the rest of you go home.
But how are we going to get Rusak to get out of there?
You're certainly not going to get him out this way.
That's a problem, Jeff. It'll take some thinking. And there's no reason why it can't wait till tomorrow, is there?
No, I guess not.
So now, what do you say? How about everybody going home? Come on, everybody. When you've had a good night's sleep and wake up in the morning, you'll be grateful that we didn't let you go through with it. Come on now. If you go first, Joe, the others will follow.
All right, Bob. Come on, you fellas.
Joe.
Yes, Betty?
Before you go, would you mind introducing us to this man?
Well, this is Chet Andrews. He's been teaching for over a year at the school where the Rusak kids go. Well, Chet, this is Bob Drake. You've heard a lot of talk about them in this town.
Oh, yes, I have.
Well, that's about all, I guess.
Is that all, Joe?
Well, I'm sorry I hit you, Chet.
Oh, forget it, Joe.
I'm really sorry. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Joe.
I don't know how to thank the two of you enough. I don't think I'd have been able to stop them by myself.
Took a lot of nerve on your part to walk into the middle of the mob that way.
Well, they had to be stopped.
Hey, Mr. Andrews, your cheek is bleeding.
Oh, is it?
Here, take my handkerchief.
No, that's all right. I'll use my own.
Mind if I take a look at that cut with this flashlight?
All right.
Hey. It's rather a nasty gash.
Oh, I'm sure it isn't very much.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is. Come on. Hey, he caught you right on the cheekbone.
What do you say you come back to our house, Mr. Andrews, and we'll take care of it for you?
Oh, no, no. Don't bother, please.
What do you mean, don't bother? We fought on the same side in this war. Got to take care of our wounded.
He's right, Mr. Andrews. You follow us in your car.
As a matter of fact, we'll put Betty to work. Betty will put up some coffee and raid the refrigerator.
Oh, now, really,
Oh, come on now. There's nothing to argue about, old man. As good as done.
Well, all right, but...
Good.
But, well, what's going to happen to Rusak and his children in there? You know, if he doesn't come out peacefully, the law won't be able to afford to be gentle.
I know. Well, let's go back to the house anyway, and we can sit down quietly and talk the whole thing over.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe we'll figure out a way. Maybe we'll be able to figure out a way to get Rusak out of his house. And maybe... maybe to do a whole lot more than that before any more harm is done.
Well, that was a close call. Betty and Bob just managed then to prevent a great tragedy. But what can they do for this crazed farmer who is determined to resist the law to death? They will have to act fast, or another mob may soon form. Be sure to join us at our next meeting to see what Betty and Bob and their newfound friend, Chet Andrews, decide to do. This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.